I'm Paula Gordon. Bill Russell, Carolyn Jessup has joined us. Dr. King used to say, until all of us are free, none of us are free. One of the things I found really moving in Escape, as you tell this incredible story, is you talk about boys being disposable in a polygamist setting.
They have to be. In a closed society where you're not converting, and 50% of the babies born are boys, 50% are girls, every time a man takes an additional wife, one, you have to get rid of the excess male population. It's the only way to perpetuate the lifestyle. So throughout the generations that I've been involved with this lifestyle, it's a very common thing for the boys to be sent away, excommunicated, sent out of the community.
What happens to them?
When I was growing up, they would leave around the age of 18 to 24, and they would go out, start a life, get a job, and just move away from the society. And sometimes they still had association with family members inside this society. But when Warren took over, and he went from more of polygamy to harems, literal harems, then the male population became a real problem. And he started having boys shipped out of the community at the ages of 16, and then it went to 14, and then down to 13 and 12. And he would just tell them, he would tell the father that the boy could no longer be in the community, and usually there was a crime that the child had committed, like watched a movie or done something. So he would tell the family to take them, and they would take them, put them on the street of a major city, tell them to never come home again, that they'd been turned over to the buffetings of Satan.
The what?
The buffetings of Satan, and that Satan would have his way with them through this life, and there was nothing good for them in this world, and as soon as they died, they'd be taken straight to the pits of hell, and to never, ever contact their family again. The boys were told, if you care about your mother, do not ever contact her, and do not contact your siblings, because if you do, you may cost them their salvation, and they may have to suffer as you're suffering.
It's also worth saying they also were uneducated. So they were essentially put out with no resources.
Absolutely none.
You're a teacher. How did
many of these boys are functionally illiterate. Dan Fisher, who found me, helped me get on my feet and protected me, he made a quest to find these boys. There's an unofficial count of around 900 of them that are scattered. He found several of them and did what he could to help them. Many of them are so badly injured, it's been very difficult to help them get on their feet. And
Dan Fisher was also of FDLS, wasn't he?
Yes, he was an FLDS member. And he at one time had three wives, but he had a very difficult time living polygamy. And he had a very difficult time with the abuses towards women and children. He has such a kind heart, he couldn't cope with it.
There is a phenomenal lack of compassion, a lack of love, a lack of... There doesn't seem to be any beauty in this life.
I didn't experience any. But when you require people to live an unnatural way, and they do unnatural things, and when you have to get up every day and do things that are unnatural to every basic human emotion, you lose touch with reality, you lose touch with who you really are, you lose touch with the beauties in life. And life just becomes very ugly.
I think, appreciate how dramatically effective brainwashing is. Mm-hmm. And by brainwashing, we're talking about creating an alternate reality that dominates and controls everything. You make it clear that is a powerful source. How did you manage to escape it? How did you break out of that universe that had been created for you and that you were in the midst of?
I broke out of it one step at a time, one day at a time. It wasn't easy. When you are born into a cult or indoctrinated into one and you become a victim of mind control, you live your life with two identities every day. Your cult identity, how you're supposed to think, how you're supposed to act. Keep sweet no matter what.
Keep sweet.
Sweet no matter what. If somebody's injuring your child, you do not interfere. You keep sweet no matter what. Every moment of your life is controlled with the do's and don'ts of the cult identity. And it's very dangerous to step out of that identity when you are living within a cult because all
totally,
the other members.
This is totally passive.
That's one element, one part of it. However, when you are put in a situation of survival, the other identity, which is your authentic self. It's who you really are. No matter how intense the mind control, you never erase, you never destroy the authentic self. And it's in cases of survival that the authentic self breaks through the cult identity and will take over. And that happened for me.
But it doesn't, does everybody have this? They just have a lesser authenticity?
Not necessarily. I was put in more extreme circumstances and my authentic self broke through multiple times. It started when I was managing a motel for my husband. And that's a long story. It's in the book.
And you tell it well in Escape.
And then where I believe I had the most significant breakthroughs was with my son's cancer. Mm-hmm. It's interesting to me that a life-threatening condition like that in many ways saved the life of a family. It saved all of our lives. I don't know that I would have broke through that mind control if I would not have gone through that experience. It was horrific. It was traumatic. I wouldn't wish it on the devil himself, but it saved my life, and it saved the lives of my children. And in many cases, Harrison saved himself by going through that. Even now, with all of the conditions that he deals with on a daily basis, his life is so much better than it would have been if he would have been a normal kid growing up in that society.
Just saying a great deal. We'll be back in a moment with more from Carolyn Jessup. Be with us.